Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
After that wonderful section on the Gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 10, and the assurance that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Apostle Paul then gives a series of four questions which emphasize the necessity of Christians being involved in the work of the Great Commission. He assures us that according to God's plan and design, that human instrumentality is a necessity in the work of evangelism. And here's how he puts it in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And so by putting together these four questions and forcing us to think about them and to answer them, Paul leads us step by step to the indisputable conclusion that it is absolutely essential that Christians proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in order for conversions to occur. And this is not something that is spoken by someone who does not believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation. The Apostle Paul obviously did. We have just completed our study of chapter 9, in which that is abundantly clear. And yet this same apostle who insisted upon the sovereignty of God in the work of conversion also insisted upon the necessity of human instrumentality in the work of conversion. And one is not opposed to the other. Because if God designed it that way, if God not only designed the plan and the means, and the goal, I guess I should say, the end, but also the means to carry out the plan, and the means involve human instrumentality, then of course human instrumentality becomes absolutely indispensable to the work of evangelism, and that is what Paul is telling us here. Now, as that last question that we have been examining most recently on the broadcast yesterday, namely, how shall they preach unless they are sent? In other words, how shall there be effective proclamation of the gospel unless men are sent with the gospel? In other words, a self-appointed herald is a contradiction of terms. Men cannot send themselves. They must be sent. That's the point of what Paul is saying here. Evangelists, preachers, those who are used by God in this work of evangelism cannot send themselves. They must be sent. And of course the question is this being sent a being sent by God or a being sent by the church? And I hope I answered that question satisfactorily yesterday to say it must be both. It is not either or. It is not one or the other. Take your pick. It is not either or. It is both and. Both. The call of God must be a reality, and the sanction of the church must also be recognized. And because of human failure, there will be times, of course, when churches will send out men to preach who are not truly called by God. They have misread what has been thought to be signs of the call of God upon a man's life, and that is not so. And furthermore, the church churches, I guess I should say, will sometimes fail to send out men who have truly been called by God. There's always the element of human failure. But let us not use that as an excuse to think that there's no such thing as human failure on the other end, that is, that men may think they have been called by God when they have not, that there is no such thing as a mistaken sense of God's call. And all of these things have to be carefully weighed and held in balance, or we are not going to have what the Bible indicates, namely, that preachers who are sent must be sent both by God and by the church. And so what do you do when a man announces that he's been called to preach? Do you immediately applaud his call? Do you immediately approve of his call? Do you immediately authorize his call, sanction his call, validate his call, and say, because he said so, we believe it, praise God, and we go on from there and assume that his announcement is true? Or do we say, that's a wonderful desire, and now let's spend some time together in the context of the local church to see if this announced call of God manifests itself sufficiently so that the church is also convinced of its presence and reality? That ought to be the response. And a truly God-called man ought to be more than willing to do that. And he should recognize that it's going to take some time, different in different circumstances, different for different people, for a variety of reasons. Some men, by the time they become convinced that they have been called of God to preach, have so manifested the evidence of that call in their lives that the church has already been convinced. And in a case like that, when a man announces his call, when a man surrenders to preach, as the language is often put, it may be that the church has been convinced of that for a long time, have been praying that the man himself would realize it. And when he does, there is immediate confirmation and validation because the church is ahead of him on that, just waiting for him to recognize what they are already convinced that God is doing. And therefore, you can proceed rather quickly into whatever is the next appropriate step, presumably, training. Again, depending upon the circumstances and the situation, but presumably, training. Just because a man is called to preach doesn't mean that he needs to be trained for the gospel ministry. Think about Christ and the apostles. They were called to preach, called to the ministry at the beginning of their discipleship. Then they spent 3 years being schooled by Christ himself. A wonderful school, a wonderful training ground. Because of that, some have concluded that that's the only training that is necessary, namely, that a man is taught by Christ. I'm called to preach and I've been taught by Christ. Not, to use modern terminology, slang, not. The training which the apostles received at the hands, at the feet of Christ, however you want to put it, was actual 3 years of training with Christ physically present upon the earth. There is no parallel to that today. No parallel to that today possible, because Christ is no longer on the earth. He's gone to heaven. You can't equate what you take to mean, or take to be, the leading and training and teaching of the Holy Spirit in your heart to be equal to that 3 years of hands-on practical training which the disciples of Christ received while Christ was upon the earth, when he literally sent them out on preaching assignments and brought them back and evaluated what they did and interacted with them and taught them both by precept and by example and by hands-on experience, and all of that going on over a three-year period of time. There's really no way to duplicate that kind of training today. And so we try to supplement it, we try to approximate it, would be a better word, through the use of formal schooling. And admittedly, formal schooling can take a lot of different forms and a lot of different varieties. And I don't think that it's always necessary that a man go away to a college, to a seminary, and pursue the prescribed program. But I will tell you that I think in about 99% of the cases that I've seen, that's really what is needed. There are those rare exceptions. And when there are rare exceptions, then what? How should this be carried out? Well, it can, of course, be carried out in more of a local church mentoring situation. That would approximate what Christ did upon the earth. I think that can be done, but that requires an enormous commitment on the part of the pastor or pastors of the local church. An enormous commitment, which most men are not able to do because of the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month demands of pastoral ministry. Remember, when Christ trained the apostles, he was not pastoring a church. He did have a little bit more flexible schedule than that. He was more like a traveling evangelist, and he was free pretty much to set his own schedule. He was like a traveling evangelist who was supported by others, who wasn't dependent upon meetings in local churches and regular offerings in order to support him. He had other people, those wealthy women, for example, who supported him. He wasn't highly supported, but he was adequately supported. And he was very flexible, and he set his own schedule. He traveled here and there. And I think there's no question that a lot of the decisions which Christ made about where he would go and what he would do next were not only influenced by the needs of the people that he was ministering to, but were also greatly influenced by the needs of the men that he was training for the ministry. Christ was training a band of ministers. That was the school of Christ. Christ and the 12 apostles was the school of Christ training men for the ministry. And a lot of the training was by observation. They did what he did. They went where he went. They watched what he did. They helped him in what he did. A lot of it was just experience-oriented, hands-on, get in there and do it kind of training, but always under the careful eye, the careful supervision of Jesus Christ. And don't forget that a lot of his teaching was teaching the apostles. Sometimes that's very clear in the text, that Christ was saying these words to the apostles only, or to the apostles plus some other disciples, not to the multitudes. Other times, we are told that he was speaking to the multitudes, but even there sometimes, the indication is that though the multitudes were listening in, the content of the message was primarily for his own disciples. Christ was continually training his disciples, both by precept, teaching them, giving them content, information, the Word of God, and by supervising their involvement in ministry. And after 3 years of that kind of intense training, and then when the promised Holy Spirit came with an endowment of power, Christ said, now you're ready to preach. Now you're ready for ministry. Now you're ready to go with the gospel to the ends of the earth. And not until then. Their call didn't make them ready. The Holy Spirit being sent alone didn't make them ready. It was the Holy Spirit at the end of 3 years of intense ministerial training. And so what's the next step when a man believes that he's been called to preach? Training. Schooling. Get some training. You'll need it for the task ahead. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.